He is the God of now. He's the God of this minute as I speak. And there is a desire in my heart tonight that he would bow the heavens and come down. And we're not saying that he should leave his throne for God who fills the heavens and the earth. How can he come and fill this house? But the Lord sends his Spirit, whom we cannot see but love. And he manifests his presence so that we might detect and know just who he is and what he is and how he is. And someday perhaps the scales will be taken off our eyes, or perhaps with our spirit we can see him and know him as he really is. But for now it suffices that we might touch him and know him on the plane that we are. And so in our heart we plead with him that he should come, that he should be the Lord of our life, and that he should manifest himself to each and every one of us. And so, as we begin to sing this song tonight, I want you to join in as you feel that this is what you would like to say to God. And when you begin to sing this, and when you begin to say this to the Lord, I want you to stand and say it to the Lord. Because if you acknowledge that it's the Lord that you're saying something to, he deserves a standing ovation. He deserves a stand from man, his creation, in acknowledgement that I'm directing my words to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I'm directing my prayers to someone, not something, that I don't expect my words, the cry of my heart, the prayers of my heart to fall empty on the carpet. But I expect them to be unto him. O Lord, I pray. O Lord, I pray. And when we say these words, we say them to someone. We don't just sing to fill the air with singing and song and melody. But we're actually saying something to the Lord. And we're using a song so that we can all say it in harmony, so that we can all say it in unison and in order. But our prayer is still the same. Rend the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens, bow the heavens, bring the heavens down. Oh Lord my God, I pray. It's the reason why we sing it. Once and over and over and over again. Because Jesus taught the woman how to pray with importunity, and he said, keep it up until you get what it is your heart really wants. You don't just ask once and quit. You pray it and pray it and pray it until you know in your heart that he hears you. And then when I know that he hears me, then I prepare my heart, because what he's heard is that I want him to come to me. And when he does, I want to be prepared to receive him. And so I say it again and again and again, that he might rend the heavens and come down. But the Lord also, his prayer, his desires, that we might return unto him. For again and again in the Bible, he says, return unto me and I will return unto you. Just turn in your heart toward me. Let everything that amuses you in this life, everything that plagues you and hurts you and distracts you in life, cease. Put it away, put it behind you, and turn toward the Lord tonight. Until he becomes everything in your thoughts, until everything in your heart, everything in your mind is lined up toward the Lord. You want to meet with the Lord tonight. Until there's no other distraction. And we'll sing it not because God's deaf, not because he doesn't know we're singing it, but to prepare our hearts. And so that he might know that that's exactly what we want. And that as he begins to answer this prayer and descend upon us, we might know that he is here. That it might not pass us by, but that we might know that he is here. And that's what we want. Whether it's a child, or whether the young people, or the adults, or the elderly, the same goes. The mighty, wonderful, holy presence of the Lord. And that sense of reverence and expectancy is already built in the atmosphere in the service. You came in without it. But in just a few minutes, things got turned around. Such a mighty anointing. I tell you, it's all over my body. There's going to be things that are going to happen now in a minute. But I just want you to know that the Lord hears and answers our prayer. Because he's a God that answers. And he's a God that hears. Bow the heavens and come down. The mighty anointing of the Lord is in this place. Sense him and know him. Touch him and feel him, for it is the Lord. For it is the Lord who comes to make himself known that he is a God of today. For this atmosphere is the atmosphere of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this atmosphere is the atmosphere of one who answers prayer. And who comes unto those who come unto him. He is the God of Wednesday nights, and he is the God of Friday nights. He is the God of every day of our life. He is the God of Sundays. He is the God of everyone who will cast themselves on him. He is the Lord. Behold the Lord God, the Almighty One. He is here. Behold, the Lord God Almighty is here. Precious, precious anointing. Wonderful Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you for everything in life. We need you for everything in life. We need you tonight. And what's more, we want you tonight. I know we can't see you, but you make your wonderful presence known to us. I bless you for your anointings, Lord. Your anointings that break the chains and shackles of our life. The chains of your anointings in life. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Because you're the God of today. You're the God of now. You're a God, Lord, as in the wilderness, a fountain. And it doesn't matter how dry it is in the wilderness, you're the fountain in it. And when we but come to the fountain, our souls revive and they live. And they drink from thy fountains. Life everlasting and life eternal. Lord, you didn't need for us to walk alone. In fact, you never wanted us to walk alone. It's so much more wonderful to walk in life with a sense of your lovely presence. For you said you would go with us. And the Ark of the Covenant went before them. Lord, teach us to walk with you. Teach us to walk with you. Teach us to walk with you and put you first in everything we do. Lord, open our hearts tonight. We have opened them, but I ask you to open them. Because you opened the inner chambers of them. We can only open the exterior court. We can open what we think are the doors of its entrance, but you know every single secret place of the heart. I ask you, Lord, to open them. So that which is in there that shouldn't be there can come out. And that which isn't in there that should be can come in. That's why I ask you to open them. Mighty One, open them. That every heart this night know that you expose it, to speak truth unto it. Take off the latches thereof, unlock the doors that are locked. Open them, Lord. Open them. Because by nature we close our heart to anything that we cannot understand. Anything that's foreign or different or strange, we close our heart. And so I ask you tonight, Lord, to open our heart. I know we close it, but I'm asking you to open. You don't fear the things that are yours. Lord, you don't fear the things that are of your world because you're in them and you know them. It's just us. Sometimes, Lord, we just don't know how far to trust you with our heart. But Lord, tonight I just want to tell you that you're welcome to take my heart and do whatever you want to with it. Sometimes, Lord, when you're doing what you do with it, I don't understand. But I just leave it to you. It's worse to close. It's worse to reach out and try to defend and protect it. It's worse sometimes, Lord, to try to analyze whether what's happening is good or bad. And so, Lord, I'll leave that to you. I leave you a very precious treasure. I guard my heart, Lord, for when I give you my heart, I give you my treasure. And Lord, speak to it what you think is convenient for it. Touch the places in there that you feel need exposure. Deal with it when it needs dealt with. Lord, I know a lot of places that need to be dealt with. I'm asking you, Lord, that when you touch them, I would let you. And not even try to put a hand on the surgeon's hand, but just let you do the work. Wonderful Jesus, I recognize you here tonight, and I honor you. And I'm honored by you. I'm honored that you should come and be our guest. But Heavenly Christ, I ask you to be more than just a guest that would stand at the back and just look. And let us know that you are here, but that you would speak to us. But that you would speak to us. Come from the back and come up front and take the place of honor. Delight us, Lord, with your words. Let us know that you feed us with that which is convenient for our heart. Holy Spirit, man cannot live on earthly bread, and continue existing that way. He needs some other value added to that, the bread of heaven. And we ask you, Lord, for bread of heaven. We ask you, Lord, that you might feed us, might minister to us, might speak to us. Treat us with words from heaven. Words that change our attitudes, that set our hearts free, that loosen the chains that creep up around us. And when we stagger, you walk alongside and lift us up. And when we walk too strong and too bold, you're there to protect us from falling. And your words are there as a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Be that, Lord. And teach us tonight how quickly it is for you to come to us. It's when we turn our heart to you that you turn your heart toward us. Now, Lord, let us do the same thing with the word. Let us tune our heart and open our heart to your word, that you might speak to us from it. And for this, I bless you and I thank you. And Lord, I love you. I love your spirit. You're so firm, you're so gentle, you're so strong. There are demands that are unbending. There are strengths that are unyielding. But I need it. I need them. I ask you, Lord, to never let me go. Regardless of what I say or do, don't ever let me go. Because it's not me to hang on to you. I let go of you a lot of times. I admit that. But Lord, I ask you to lay hold of me and never let me go. I ask you, Lord, to take hold of my heart, hold it in your hands, and keep it with you. Because if you give it to me, it goes after other things. But Lord, keep my heart for you in simplicity and in sincerity. I say to you tonight, keep my heart for you until you're the center around which it will always surround and revolve. And Lord, you know that these aren't just pretty words. For day in and day night lately, I've cried them unto you. And I mean it, you know. You know that I do. And Lord, I don't care if they listen to what I have to say to you. It's all the same to me. I just know that what I say to you. Because I recognize you're here. And I know you're in this place. I sense your spirit. I know the anointing. And Lord, just speak to us. Do it, Lord. Turn to us again. You know what I'm asking you. You know what I'm asking you. Pardon the multitude of our iniquities and forgive us. Turn to us and be our God. Cause us to walk before you as it is your desire and your love that we should walk. And we promise to give you the glory. We promise to love you. We promise to return to you when we hear you calling us that we're far off. We promise to open our hearts as best as we know and let you open it the rest of the way. I leave it now with you, Lord. I leave it now with you. Such a wonderful anointing in this place. You see, Jesus said that his house should be called a house of prayer. That's what we've been doing since we entered here tonight. Whether through song, or whether in the form of prayer, or in the form of worship. However, we have been praying this evening. And that delights the Lord. It really does. There was a moment in history when the children of Israel were before Jordan. They were in the wilderness. They were about to cross Jordan and come into Gilgal, into the promised land that God had prepared for them. But whilst they were on the wilderness sands, a tragic happening took place, filled with fear and unbelief. Several people were stirred to motivate the other people to turn against the Lord. And the Lord was angry with those people because they were instruments used in this life to turn his people against him. And the Lord had done many wonderful and mighty things in their generation, bringing them out of Egypt. But they would not consider those things. They would not be conscious of that. They refused to accept that this mighty God that brought them out of Egypt could bring them all the way through, could finish his work with them, was able to bring them into the land of the enemies and cause them there to triumph. That the Lord was able because he was a God that could forgive sin and could forgive iniquity. But nonetheless, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the Lord said of that generation that they would not enter in. And here they were in the wilderness. They hadn't crossed Jordan over into the land that God had promised them to have a nation, to establish a nation for themselves. And so the Lord said that all that were older would remain upon the wilderness sands, and they would die there. They would stay there and the remainder of their lives and would not enter in. But that there was young people from 20 years on down. Of course, in our modern day, that age is, of course, around 14 or so. But the Lord made a division between the older generation and the younger generation. And he said that only the younger generation would come in to the promised land. Now this takes place. God bringing the children out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the wilderness was a miraculous happening. God showed up on the scene. That's what we today call revival. That's the supernatural brought down into our natural world. That's God working in a supernatural way with signs and wonders and miracles. Would that have to do with our government or with our country, with our nation, with sickness, disease, with people, sin? A mighty outpouring of God in the world that shakes the earth, shakes a city, shakes its inhabitants, and they turn unto the Lord. You know, at the beginning of this century, we had a tremendous move, tremendous operation of the Spirit. That would be like in our century, God bringing the people out of Egypt. Decade after decade, the glory of the Lord filled the earth. Miracle after miracle. Cities, whole cities would convert and turn to the Lord. They'd have to close down all kinds of amusement places. Places of sin. And a people turned to God. God raised up young people who later became internationally renowned as men and women of God. Kids that were no older than you were, that later became Billy Graham of today. They were the ones that became the Amy Simple McPhersons, Maria Woodworth Etter, Catherine Coleman, Charles Price. We could go on all night naming man after man, woman after woman, who when they were your age, God moved miraculously and powerfully in their day. And out of that, there came a group of young people that so gave their life to God that they became the ones that took God to their next generation. They were the ones that were in the move of God and took God of that move to the next generation. You see, how will the next generation know? How will people of the next generation know? How will the little tiny children that have never been in the move of God? How could any of you have known if God hadn't brought to you people who were there when it happened and brought it to you? How would you have known? Someone, this man you're looking at right here tonight, when he was your age, had to make a decision to carry what God was supernaturally doing in his baby age to the next generation. And here I am. And his doors open wide around the world. As I begin to go out and go forth, I want you to know that I didn't know God had all that in mind for me when I was your age. All I know is that the Lord made known to me this, that the children of Israel that had come out of Egypt with mighty miracles and power of God, they were living in their hour of revival. But it was their children that took it to the next generation. They didn't. For a revival dies with the people who had it. It's their children who take it on. At the beginning of this century, and that's not so long ago, 60 to 90 years ago, hundreds and hundreds of young people your age gave their entire life to God. Oh, yes, they had their plans. They had their careers in mind. But they, like this generation that God separated. And please remember that it wasn't the old folks that crossed Jordan into the promised land. It was the young folk. That when they grew up, they made a decision that they would live for God and that they would be the ones that took that God of the wilderness, that God of revival, that God of Sinai, that God of Egypt to the next generation. They were the bridge that crossed Jordan. They were the ones that took revival with them to the next generation. They were the ones that saw God, once they crossed Jordan, work supernaturally again at Jericho. They'd never seen that before. At Gilgal, God exposed their heart. When these people got up, I want you to know that they were the young people of their generation, not the old ones. You see, all your young folks are waiting for the old folks to do what they have to do. For your parents, your grandparents, and all the rest of them to get with it. That's why they're teachers in the school. That's why they're here helping us in the office. That's why they're missionaries around the world. I want to tell you something. You are the only ones that are going to take God to your generation when you are adults. We're not. Did you stop to think that it was your group and your age that did it? When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was 8 years of age. By 14, I was preaching. You see, God doesn't have to wait until you're 30. But you know what I see in our generation? I see something very strange taking place. Latter rain that took place in the 40s and 50s soon died down. But out of it came very few people, totally on fire, real men and women of God. Then came the charismatic move, which was a renewal, not a major move. There's a little renewal right now going on in the world under the canopy of tremendous power, people falling under the power. Some for miracles, others just because God is working other things in their life of deliverance. But you know what I'm seeing? I am seeing that in very few places there are people, there are young people and children that are laying their life aside and giving it to God to become the men and women that God will use tomorrow. We have known a tremendous moving of God's Spirit in here from 1987 afterwards, and I tell you, we have heard things that very few people have heard of because the people that have taught you and been with you have been there to see God move and bring it to you. You see, it was the young people, 20 years and under, that were in the wilderness. Remember that. And when the last of the old people died off, then God spoke and said, now cross Jordan. The miracles and the tremendous powers that took place during that generation took place with a Joshua and Caleb. And I want to tell you something about Joshua and Caleb tonight. Joshua and Caleb prepared themselves under Moses while Moses still lived. When Moses left, they stayed in there. They knew how to come into the presence of God. They knew how to lay hold of God. They knew how to let go of their life. They knew how to not live for today and for money and for things and for cars and for girls and for all the rest, and knew what it was to say, Lord, I lay all these beautiful things, my treasures, I lay aside because I want to be one of those that can take you, the you I have known, to my generation. And to do that, you have to be prepared. Who is going to cross Jordan in your generation in this church? You've seen a move of the Spirit. You've seen the power of the Spirit. You've been exposed to the glory of the Lord. Again and again, you've been exposed to the dynamic presence of God. Not just the light, sweet presence of tonight, but the dynamic presence of God. You've been in services where the holiness of God is so heavy in this place, you can't stay on your feet. Your whole spirit, body, and soul bow, collapse before Him on your face. Who is going to take God to your generation? That responsibility lies on you. The priests weren't from the old group. Do you know who God chose? God chose the men that walked with Moses day after day after day, learning, gleaning, serving. They did nothing but become a servant to Him like Elisha did to Elijah. But one day, when the Lord took Elijah and that generation died, Elisha was there to take it to his generation. Why? Because He was there. All He did is serve Him. Cooked His food, washed His clothes, took up the tent, pitched it again somewhere else, did all the stupid things. So stupid, you say, it's not worthwhile. He wasted his life. Yes, he did. And he brought his country to God in the next generation. Why? Because like Caleb, like Joseph, like Joshua, they spent their time with Moses before the Lord, learning. Joshua could have had a tremendous career, like many others. He could have had a life like any others. What demanded that he do this? When the day came that Moses was to die, the scriptures say that the Spirit of God came upon Joshua because Moses, the servant of the Lord, had laid hands on him. Why did Moses lay hands on him? Because he was his right hand. Moses imparted to him what he had. He had to stay with Moses that whole time, learning, absorbing, taking. There. How about his own life? How about the right that he had to have his own car and home and things and wife and children? He kissed them. He said, well, he had children and a wife. Yes, I said the right to them. God did give them some of them. But none of them ever took him away. He laid his life on the altar and said, God, I'm not seeking for a career. I'm not seeking for happiness of my own. I'm not seeking for an adventure. I'm not seeking for a car or home or anything else. I want to be one of those that takes you to our next generation. Because I know you're real. Where are the lights of tomorrow? Where are the ones that are going to cross Jordan with the ark? Where are the ones that have spent their time while they were still in the wilderness and children and young people serving and walking beside, so when the day comes, they were the ones that God could choose? God never said, you know, the Lord God of heaven never did say from the beginning, I'll choose Joshua, I'll choose Caleb, and I'll... No, he never did that. It's just that those were the ones that were available that put the things of their life aside and said, here I am. Here I am. A lot of people would like to be a Samuel. But Samuel had every right to have everything you have today and to live for a career like you did. And he laid it all on the line. And he said to the Lord very early in life, when he was but the age of a little older than these kids and not as old as the young people. He said to the Lord, Lord, here am I. Eli had already taught him. What was he doing? He was just serving Eli. He was just a servant. Learning. And one night, the Lord appeared to Samuel. Why not someone else? Why Samuel? Because he was serving the minister of the living God. I didn't mean he brushed his shoes and doing that. That means that in his heart, he had God in mind. He was going to live his life out for God and not for anything else. Where are the people who are going to take God to your day and age? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when all those that were in touch with God and that knew what had happened and can bring God to you are dead? What are you going to do? Where's the Joshuas that will raise it up and say, God is with us? To whom the Holy Spirit will come upon and anoint with power, with might, with His word, with His understanding, with His revelation. God is a real God. He is a God that transforms lives, that heals people. He is a God that forgives sin. He is a God that frees people from their bondages. If only they come to Him and allow Him to do it, He would break their chains, whatever they be, drugs or habits or whatever, and He sets them free. Who are the ones that are going to be standing before those people telling them that there is a God because they know Him? Where are the Joshuas that crossed Jordan? Where are the young people that crossed with Him? That has already made up their mind, they're not going to live for themselves, but they're going to live for Him. And be men or women that God uses later on in life. and they have no other plan in life but that. If you believe God's going to use your life in some land, then learn the language. You know how easy it is to learn at your age? You wait until you're adult, you'll never speak it well. So that when God calls, you have the language. You say, well, I don't know where I'm going to go. But if you follow the inner leadings, if your life is disposed to follow after God, if in your heart and mind you've made up your mind, you are going to live for God, you're going to be the firebrand for your generation, the Spirit would lead and would guide you. Not into the schools of man, the schools of the Spirit. What are you doing with your life? Somebody has to take your generation across Jordan. Where are the Samuels? Where are the Elishas? Where are the Josephs that God speaks to when they're a child and gives them a dream, and on that base they give their life to God and have no other plans done, regardless of whether they're put in prison or wherever they're put? They have one reason to live, and that's to be the person or a person that crosses Jordan with your generation. Someone that knows God. Someone that has God. Someone that wants God. Someone that can see a little bit further than cars and pretty girls. Someone that has a reason to live other than making yourself happy. Where are they? I ask tonight, where are they? Are you preparing out there? Have you made up your mind that you are going to live entirely for God as a career? I ask the Lord to open our heart tonight so we could hear this word. So that we could know what it was God wanted for us. Smith Wigglesworth began when he was 40. After the death of his wife, filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to really seek the Lord. He laid his life on the line. He was a plumber. And God began to work with him. He became one of the greatest giants of faith in Europe and America into the early part of this century. It's never too late. But you are the only one, any one of you, you're the only ones that can take your life and say, Lord, instead of living my desire, my career, here it is. If you use it, you use it. God is looking for Joshua's and he's looking for Caleb's. And when they were but young guys, young kids, young people, they were with Moses day and night, helping. Do you want to live your entire life without ever seeing or knowing a revival? Is someone else going to bring it to you? Are you going to be one of those ones that travel all over the country just to sit down in some church to hear somebody preach because you don't have it on your own? Think about it now, because tomorrow is too late. It takes 10 to 15 years to prepare. For years I had instructors, I had teachers, I had those that I had to work with and under and for. I was almost 40 years of age when I came here, and again I had to work under my father, and all, most of you know. I bless God for that training. I can say one thing of my dad. Not in the same intensity. I'm still working on it. But I've got his treasure. I managed to get his best. Everything he ever had. Everything he ever knew from back there. You see, I wasn't there. He's my only bridge to back what happened. You wouldn't know how many hours we spend just talking about it all. And I live absorbing. I don't do anything else but just absorb and absorb and learn and absorb. Today I know. Today I have. I didn't let my opportunities go by. I cashed in on them. You come here service after service after service after service. Cash in on your opportunities. Some of you need to be studying Spanish. Others can be speaking other languages. I don't know where God's going to send you. I don't know what you will be doing. I had a letter put on my desk the other day of someone that wanted me to review it because they wanted to go to some country and do something for someone. You know, it's curious. I only know that we lay our life at the feet of Jesus. We just lay our life at the feet of Jesus, and He will direct our paths. He will direct our paths. If I feel I'm going to work in some country, learn how to write in their language. Learn how to speak it so fluently. Learn how to be there so great men of God don't have to say to you someday like they did to me, with lament, I wished I had this language. I can see what you can do. I wished I had the language. Well, folks, I had the language. I thank God for that. You can start now. So when you want to write a letter to someone you feel God wants to send it to, you can write in their language, not ours. You can do it fluently and be a blessing wherever you go. Wherever you go. Where are the young people? You say, well, Lord, I can't. I'm getting married. Well, Lord, I can't. You know, I'm going to college. Well, Lord, you know, I can't. You know, it would be a waste to put this brilliant brain to use for you when it can be so great in mathematics, science, computers. And then when this is all through, you can go up and tell the Lord that your generation with all their computers and all their science used it only to destroy people, and that there was none of you that God used to bring people life. Not one of you. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing now with your life? Understand it tonight, because I'm speaking to you as a father. Someday God will take me, and you're on your own. Be the light for your generation. Be the lamp house for your people. Be the one that tells them, be the one that's there, prepared, for when God moves, you'll know what to do. I had no doubt in my mind, when I was 12 or 14 years old, what I would do with my life. I had this burning, it seemed like unquenchable desire inside to know God and to serve Him. I went to Bible school because I didn't know what else to do back then. But whatever I did with my life, and I even studied electronics, I got into a lot of things in my life because I have many gifts that God has given me. He doesn't let me use for myself, but I can use them once in a while. I develop them about so far, and that's it. But it doesn't matter what thing I've done with my life, I can tell you this, that I never lost sight of where I was going and what I wanted out of life. That's why it's no wonder to me that God should have called me. And then I realized that after He calls you, He chooses you. That's way beyond calling. And after He chooses you, He sends you. And the day came when God spoke to me and He said, I will send you. I now become His voice in countries, in places where we're to bring judgment or to bring life. I become God's mouth to speak. He sent me. There's not devils that can stop that. There's not powers over nations that can stop that. When God sends you, He sends you. You go as an ambassador of the living God. With His power, with His anointing, with His word, with His conviction, with His life, you go sent. Be a sent one. If you can't make it there, be a called, a chosen one. If you can't be there, then know that you've been called to live for God. Live for God. We just want our happiness. That's all we want, is our happiness. Well, let me tell you, there's no happiness like giving your life entirely to God. There's no happiness like saying, God, every potential that I had for my life is on the line here. It's yours. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Do you come running up here to the altar and I pray for you? No. You know what's going to happen and you know how it happens? Next time we know you're involved in the church somewhere or another. And then you're involved in this and then you're involved in that. And before you know it, you're not going to wait till you're 50. You're going to be totally involved in the things of the Lord. You want to learn. You want to know. You have a goal. You want your life to be God's and only God's. And if He picks it up, fine. And if He doesn't, at least you gave it. Many of you that are here today have a call of God upon your life, and you haven't even answered that call yet. It's that drawing, that calling of the Lord, and you haven't answered that call yet. You're fooling around with this, fooling around with that, frustrated with your life because it's not going anywhere. And every plan you make gets frustrated and torn to the ground, and you live sick and sorry. Answer that call. Say like Samuel said, Lord, here am I. I'll live for what You brought me into this world to do and live, not what I want. And do away with those frustrations. Put them aside. God will open the doors for you when you open your doors for God. We are waiting for God to do it. God is waiting for you. God, the Lord of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, won't force you to serve Him because He's not a dictator. But He will make you responsible. If you are one of those that were, if genetically you were put together as a man or a woman to take God to your next generation and you didn't, He'll make you responsible for that. He will. Do you know that even Moses' parent taught him that someday he would be a deliverer? And on that hope, he clung 40 years in the backside of a wilderness while God prepared him. Do you think it's easy to be prepared for God? No. If you think it's hell out there, it's 10 times hell. Be prepared for God. Look at Joseph's life. Look at David's life. Look at Moses' life. Any one of them. Paul's. And then be told by God, I want to show him what great things he must suffer for my name. What a plan for somebody. To blow him away. But to this day, a quarter of the Bible was written by him, and we live off of every word he wrote from his prison. Why? Because he yielded his life to God. He said to the Lord, when God appeared to them, he said, Lord, what wouldest thou that I should do? And he was alone, blinded. God spoke to Ananias. God spoke to his servants and said, I want you to go. Because I have chosen this man. He's one of mine that will go out and take the light to the Gentiles. Go, pray for him, anoint him, that he might receive the Holy Ghost. Because I must show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he became an apostle to the Gentiles. An apostle to the Gentiles. Prepare yourself. Do away with your gods. Do away with your TVs. Do away with all the things that destroy you and build the flesh in you. And begin to get a hold of the Word. Begin to lay hold of God. And be the power plants of tomorrow. Lay hold of the challenge and the call of God. Answer that call. Leave all the rest aside. And all the waste of time that you have. And begin to build your life in God. And lay hold of the things you hear. Lay them at heart. Write them in your Bible. Have them there. Because someday these people who led you to God won't be here anymore. They'll be gone. I could be gone from here not because I'm dead. But God must remain with you. The Lord, His presence, His glory, His power must remain with you. Keep Him. Know Him. Absorb Him. Be like Elijah. Don't be like Gehazi. Did you know that Gehazi was supposed to follow after Elijah? That's why they had the dark ages after Elijah. He sold himself short because he gave himself for the things of this world. He was supposed to inherit Elisha's mantle. But he wasn't there when it was given. Do you know that if a dead man's body put over the grave of the dead bones of Elisha came to life after the man was dead, how much more could Hasey, if he'd repented, had gone, cast himself upon the grave, the power of the Holy Ghost would have anointed him and brought him back to spiritual life. He didn't have enough faith. You know why? He left because he wanted to leave. He left because money and things in this world meant more to him than the anointing and the life of God. And this, my young people, my friends, and my children, is a word of God. This isn't stuff I construed. God wouldn't even let me prepare tonight. Not so much as look at a scripture. He told me he wanted me to stand here, and he would tell me what to say when I opened my mouth. I want you to know that you will never be able to say to the Lord, I didn't know, I didn't hear. But the only thing you'll be able to say is, Lord, I didn't want to yield my life to you. God is calling. I want every head bowed, please. You know, some of you adults, God's going to be moving you around. I'm always ahead of my time, so this could be a few years ahead. I don't know. All I know is that you're not going to be cozily here like you are right now tonight. God's going to be moving you around. And you're going to be a light wherever you go. Many of you have more than you think you've got. The bottom line is you're not going to be here. Get everything you can while you're here. Hear this. Get everything you can while you're here. You say, well, you know, you got to give it all to give that. Yes, you do. A very precious life, in fact. A very precious life, in fact. All that it could have been on the line. Everything it could have been on the line. But you will be one of those that know God and take God to your generation. I want to be faithful to challenge you. But as God, you will find I will not force you. Not only do I feel I can't make you, but if I felt I could, I wouldn't, because it wouldn't be like him. I want to leave it with you. Every child, every young person especially, or any other person who God shortly might move from this place along to your next destination, what are you doing with your life? God has given you very precious moments in your life. He's called you from different countries, from different areas of this country, to come to this place, and it's been a very special time for all of us. But out of here must go out those who know their God and who have yielded their life to him and whose sole career is living for God. Where are they? Where are you? I just can't see you. Where are you? The Spirit of the living God waits for you. Where are you? You say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, if he has spoken to your heart, the least you could do is answer back. If he's spoken to you, then you speak to him. It has to start somewhere. And it begins if you could hear his word tonight calling you. And you're willing to say, Lord, I did have plans for my life. But I just feel like for some time now, you've been asking me to yield my life to be used entirely by you. And it's a long way from where you are to where I am. A long way. You need to start feeding. You need to do away with your TVs and start learning how to pray. Start learning how to work. Go alongside those that know God and absorb from them, learn from them. It's not their responsibility to come to you, but yours to come to them. God sends us to you. It's His responsibility to send us to where you can come. Certainly God had a purpose in our church, didn't He? Were we only meant to be here and die here? Are we going to perish in this wilderness, or are we going to cross Jordan? And if we're going to cross Jordan, where are those that are going to cross it with us? Moses can't go with you. He can't take you over. As glorious as it's been, he cannot take you over. Joshua must. Where are the Joshuas? Where are those that will walk into your generation, and at my age, you will be the lighthouses, the powerhouses? You'll have learned all about the anointing. You'll have learned all about yielding. You'll have learned all about the ways of God. You'll have learned the anointings. And you are the ones that people come to find hope and life and grace. I leave the challenge with you, and I leave it with the Lord.